Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus declared, quote, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." In this verse, Jesus Christ destroys all agnosticism. We cannot be on the fence about Jesus. If we're not genuine Christians, then we are actively working against Jesus. And if we are Christians, if we are not actively serving Jesus and helping others in Jesus, then we are actively working to disrupt his work. Let's open our Bible now to Matthew chapter 12, that we may learn how to be with Jesus and to gather with Jesus.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's an early Friday morning here in the studio with Stephen. It's still dark outside. I actually had the window open and it was beautiful, but I just noticed that he closed it so that brisk 40-degree breeze is not coming in, because I just like it when the outside comes inside. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's just the meaning of, there's a metaphor in there, right? We want Jesus to go from being just an outside, just religious activity to more and more come out of the inside of us, okay? It's what's inside that's important. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. All right. Okay. I mean, when you look at Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, son of snakes." That's heavy. "How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Verse 35, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So you want to begin to be storing up more and more Jesus inside of you. For it almost seems counterintuitive, but again, it's from what's inside of you that's going to come out of you. So what are you storing up inside of you? Are you storing up the Word of God? Are you storing up the Scriptures? Are you making prayer deposits? Are you making deposits of thanksgiving and praise and worship? Are you in fellowship with other believers? Are you just using your time, your talents, and your money in service to Jesus? How much are you storing up a spiritual bank account inside of you? Some of the old men of God, some of the old church fathers, I remember some of the men in my life. I remember a man who was a good spiritual father to me when I was a young Christian. His name is Hugh, and he used to say, "John, all ministry happens in the overflow," right? Meaning we've stored up so much Jesus in us that we can't have anymore, and it's flowing over into the lives of others. Now, if we haven't filled ourselves up first, there is no overflow to minister to others. Golly, that was a good word. Thank you, Hugh. Golly, thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, yes, all ministry, if we're going to serve others, to do it effectively, we have to be filled. We have to be filled with more of the Word of God and the Son of God, filled with the Spirit of God more and more and more and more. And as we do that, we will naturally, as a matter of course, more and more effectively minister to others. Wow. Golly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your wonder. Father, we thank you that we have this Bible. We thank you that we have the living Word of God to read and to study and to store up in us, Lord. We thank you that we have this Bible, a manual for life. We thank you that you've given us exactly what to believe and how to live in light of that belief. But most of all, Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross that we deserved to die. We thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So we're here in Matthew 12, and I mean, there's just so much here. Okay. I mean, there's just, again, there's a half dozen teachings here. And, but I want to start in verse 30. And we're going to talk about just, you know, how much of your life are you actively serving Jesus, his kingdom, and his people? It's a profound, profound statement. Everything Jesus says is profound. But look at this in Matthew 12, verse 30. Matthew 12, verse 30. Simple verse. He who is not with me is against me. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. So let that sink in. Let that verse sink in. It's a two-part verse, right? Matthew 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. Okay? So what Jesus is doing here is he's destroying agnosticism. Utterly destroying it. Okay? Now the scripture says, the psalm says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. All right, I'm trying to think where that is off the top of my head. It might be Psalm 45 or 46. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Steve will have it on the screen for you if you're on YouTube. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. I'm sorry? 53. Psalm 53?
Yeah.
Okay, so Psalm 53. I thought there was something in 45 and 46 as well. Okay, so again, as far as atheism, right? Those of us who believe that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Son, and he's the only way to have our sins forgiven and ultimately go to heaven, we're called theists, okay? Theism, right? We do believe in God. A-theism believes there is no God. And the scripture says that's just simply foolish. Okay? But then there's this more common, you know, ism, and it's agnosticism, which means you're just on the fence. And that's convenient because it allows you to say, well, I'm not sure. It would seem to me like there's something out there. Perhaps there is a God, and maybe there isn't. I'm not sure. Well, when we stand before Jesus and all 8.3 billion people in the world that are alive today, all those who will ever live coming forward, and all those who will ever live and have ever lived, will stand before Jesus at one of two judgments. Either the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus, you will stand before him. This won't be a judgment for your sin. Your sins have been forgiven at the cross because you were a genuine Christian. You had received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You had your full trust and confidence in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. You are a Christian. You have eternal life. When you stand before Jesus, all of your sin, has been put to the cross. There will be a judgment now for how you lived your life in service to Christ, for how you gathered with Christ, for how you used your time, your gifts and talents, and your money in service to Christ. My brother Billy, he's older than me. He served as a fireman and was a fire chief for many years here in Texas. He's retired now in his 60s. And, you know, he made the point at Bible study on Wednesday, this point, that we will stand before Jesus and we're going to give an account to him as Christians for how we used our time in our life, our gifts and talents, the things he gave us, the gifts he gave us, the things he gave us that, you know, whatever we were good at or talented at, and how we used our money in service to him and in his kingdom, how much we use these things in service to ourselves and our own lives and our own desires and our own needs and our own pleasures and our own comforts, which of course will be no reward for that. That's not sin in itself. Okay. It's okay. I mean, you do need to work. You do need to make a living. You do need to provide for yourself and your family, but there's no reward in heaven for that. You know, it's great to watch a football game. It's great to have hobbies. It's great to enjoy yourself. It's fine to go on vacation. All those are fine. But how much of your day and your week and your month and your years are you using in service to Jesus? Going to church, no reward for that. Okay, it's good to go to church. It's good to be in fellowship with other believers. But how much of your time, your gifts and your talents, again, the things you're good at or talented at, and your money, are you actively using in service to Christ? Because you're going to stand before him. This judgment will be public. Other believers will see this. And you're going to be judged by Jesus, and you'll be rewarded accordingly. No one will have the same reward in heaven. We don't get to heaven by anything we've done. It's a gift that we simply receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. But our reward in heaven is entirely dependent on how we cooperated with the Holy Spirit in the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom and the use of our time, talents, and money. So hopefully that's clear, okay? For Christians, everyone will stand before Jesus. Now, everyone who rejected Jesus will also go before him. This will be the great white throne judgment, right? I believe it's Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And every unbeliever will stand before Jesus. The books will be open. They'll give an account for how they lived their lives. Their deeds will be judged. And they will be assigned a place in hell according to the level of sinfulness and evil that they lived in. How much of their time, talents, and money did they use in service to evil? And according to the level of evil that each person lived in, according to the level of sinfulness they lived in, they'll be assigned a place in hell. No one has the same reward in heaven. And remember, nothing you do gets you to heaven, but how you lived your life in service to Jesus will determine your reward in heaven. And no one has the same punishment in hell. Now, the difference is you're in hell because you rejected Christ. You refused to receive Christ. You refused to humble yourself, acknowledge your belief and trust in Jesus as the Son of God, God the Son. You refuse to acknowledge that your God, Jesus, became a human man for you, lived a perfect, righteous life on your behalf, died on the cross on your behalf. You refuse to believe that and receive him. Therefore, you're accountable for your own sin and your own life. And that sin debt that you accumulated will be paid by spending an eternity in hell according to the level of sinfulness. What I'm saying is, you know, people who lived a less sinful or less evil life but rejected Jesus will have a lesser punishment in hell, but still they will be in hell and it will be miserable. Those who lived a more evil life will have a greater punishment in hell. It'll be a harder place in hell, but again, it's still in hell. Everyone will stand before Jesus at one of these two judgments. So in Matthew 12, verse 30, when he says, he who is not with me is against me. Okay? So you cannot be agnostic. Jesus is destroying agnosticism. Okay? You can't be on the fence. Okay? There is no, you know, well, I'm sure there's something out there. You know, I'm not quite sure. And then just hope, you know, that when you leave this life, if all this whole thing was true, that Jesus will give you a pass. Because, you know, you didn't say nothing bad against him. You just, you know, you weren't sure. No. Matthew 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. Okay? So, if you are not in Christ, if you are not standing for Christ, if you're not, you know, proclaiming that you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to have your sins forgiven, if you're not with Jesus, if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're not trusting in him, you are actively against him. Okay? If you're not saved, if you've rejected Jesus Christ, you are in direct opposition to Jesus Christ. That dog won't hunt. Okay? You know, it won't work to say, well, Lord, I know I didn't receive you, but, you know, I wasn't talking bad about you. That dog won't hunt. But now here, then he ratchets it up meaningfully. I mean, Jesus goes to the next level. He not only says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Wow, Lord. So now, if you're not actively working with Jesus, using your time, your talents, and your money, you know, and again, the more we grow in Jesus, the more mature we get in Jesus, the more we do this. But if you're not gathering with Jesus, if you're not actively, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month, again, I'm not saying you're doing this all day, every day, okay? But the point is, you ought to be little by little, more by more, serving Jesus Christ, his kingdom, the gospel, and his people more by more. Because Jesus said, he who does not gather with me scatters. If really you have no aspect of your life that's helping to advance the kingdom of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, again, in the use of your time, talents, and money, then you are actively against it. You are actively hurting it. You are actually pushing people away from it. And I know that for most people, that sounds hard to hear because we like to think, you know, I'm just minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. I mean, golly, why does it got to be like just, you know, all or nothing? And, you know, that's what Jesus is teaching. We need to be all in on Jesus. So wherever you are today, if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior, obviously you want to now just give up the ghost, so to speak. Just bow the knee. Just say, you know what, Jesus, I've had enough. I'm sorry I've spent my life in rejection of you. I'm sorry that I've just spent my life thinking I know better than the Bible, Lord. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. And just humble yourself before Jesus and acknowledge him. Proclaim to him. Right? I mean, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not your words that save you, but if you are genuine and you're sincere and you go before Jesus and you bow the knee, which is just, again, it's good to get down on your knees, but you just humble your heart before him and just acknowledge the truth and say, you know, Jesus, I do believe you are who you say you are. Almighty God, God the Son of God. And I do believe that you did enter this world. I do believe you lived that perfect, righteous life, even for me. I do believe you died that horrible death on the cross, even for me. And Jesus, I believe you're alive and risen. And Lord Jesus, I do ask you now to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to save me from my sin and to bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith and hope and trust and confidence in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and help me to live each day of my life in love and devotion to you. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now again, that's if you're not with Jesus, if you're not sure you're saved, again, back up the tape, okay? Use the words I used, but obviously it's the sincerity of your heart that matters. And if you're sincere and you call out to Jesus and ask him to save you, Romans 10:13 promises everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay. Now, again, when it says that, it's obviously talking about calling on the Lord in truth, in sincerity, in genuineness, knowing your need of him as a hopeless, desperate, helpless, hellbound sinner. You will be saved. So, again, enough is enough already. Exhale. Stop just, you know, stop just going against the word of God. Just humble yourself and receive him. And if you're in Christ today, you know, and you know, you see Jesus says here, and he who does not gather with me scatters. If you would say, you know what, I really live, you know, almost every aspect of my day is entirely devoted to myself, my life, my wife, my kids, my job, my money, my problems, my savings, my fun, then go before Jesus and simply repent. I've said many times, repentance is the greatest tool in our toolbox, and there's a joy in it. Just go before Jesus and say, you know, Lord Jesus, I do repent. Lord, I haven't been gathering with you. I've used very little, hardly at all, of my time and the gifts and talents that you've given me. I've used them all in service to myself, my own life, my own family. Lord, I want to begin to do that more. I want to use my time, my talents, and my money more and more in service to you. And begin to do just, you know, little things. Repent before him. And then begin again just to look for again, where you can lose your time. There are so many countless ways, okay? Hopefully you're involved in if you're involved in a good Bible-based church, go see where you can serve. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can serve Jesus. It doesn't have to be in a church. You know, we have people that serve in our ministry and do other things, but there's so many different ways you can serve. You could pass these teachings on. You can encourage people, you know, in their walk. You want to get with ministries and people who you know have a genuine heart for Jesus and who are serving his kingdom or getting the word of God out. And you want to begin to give to those, give financially to those ministries. You know, there is so much that can be done in service to Christ. And he who does not gather with me scatters. So again, you want to begin to gather with Jesus. You want to begin to, again, use your time, your talents, and your money to serve Jesus Christ more and more and more and more. And the more you do this, the more exciting it will become. That just it builds on itself. And as these deposits, you know, every time you use your time, right? So begin again to say, you know what? I want to do this more. And you're going to start praying about it every day. You've heard me say this. Get down on your knees once, twice a day in prayer. Now, pray in your car. Pray everywhere, right? And again, it'd be better to pray 15 times a day for a minute or 30 seconds than one time a day for 15 minutes, okay? Now, if you can pray one time a day for 15 minutes, that's great. But you want to be engaging Jesus all the time. Begin to make prayer deposits, okay? Again, every time you make a prayer, you're storing up more and more Jesus in you. Have times of thanksgiving in the day, okay? This morning at between 4 and 4:30, I was barely awake, but I just on and off, I was consistently thanking my Heavenly Father. You want to thank Jesus. You want to thank the Holy Spirit. You know, just have a time once, twice a day for 30 seconds where you just thank him without asking for anything. And again, that's storing up deposits in you. Have times of praise and worship, right? I mean, it's good to go to church once a week and be in fellowship, be around other believers and sing and praise the Lord. Do that in your private time too. It's good to sing to the Lord when you're alone and praise him when you're alone in song and in word, right? But worship now is something much bigger. Everything we do is an act of worship. Begin to more and more strain, begin to bring more and more every department, every compartment of your life into Jesus. More and more. Until ultimately, everything is taken from just the world and your own perspective, and everything's been brought into Jesus, into the Word of God and the Son of God, and begin to be conscious of Jesus more and more, meaning begin to think about Jesus and His will and His desire for your life in all your decisions, okay? Now again, this is a lifelong process, okay? You're not going to go from 0 to 100, meaning if you've used 1% of your life in service to Jesus, you're not going to go to 50% tomorrow. But try to go to 1.5% this week, and then 2%, and then get to 3%, and then 4%. And pretty soon, man, you know, it still may be only be 10%, but 10%'s pretty good compared to one or none, right? So you want to begin to more and more think about Jesus in whatever your decisions are, okay? Invite Him into it, whatever it is, okay? Instead of just, you know, just making unilateral decisions, begin to involve Jesus in everything. Begin to involve Him in your plans, okay? Begin to involve Him in your purchases. Again, begin to involve Him in every aspect of your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. Begin to pray more for other people. Again, you want to, all of these things, prayer, praise, thanksgiving, worship, repentance, and above all, spending time in your Bible, okay? Beginning to say, you know what? I'm going to make daily deposits in my Bible, okay? You can go to our website, kingdomd.org, and we have Bible reading plans. We did a new one-year plan last year. We have two plans, you know, Kingdom Discipleship. If you go to Kingdom Discipleship, you know, we have a really advanced plan. And then we have a really good one-year reading plan. It's still pretty good, where if you just follow it each day, you'll read, you know, every chapter, every word in the Bible in 1 year. But begin to store up deposits of the Scriptures in your heart. Again, Matthew 12, 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. I said again, I hadn't read that yet. I want to talk more about that. But, you know, again, then he goes on to say in verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And here it is, verse 35, the good man, and this means man or woman, brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So again, begin today. I'll end here. Begin to make these deposits, okay? Again, wherever you are in this, Matthew 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Every one of us can repent under that. If you're not sure you're saved, okay, if you're not trusting in Jesus, if you're not a child of your heavenly Father, if you're not a Christian, you know, go back, rewind the tape, repent and receive Him as your Savior. And if you are in Christ today, then just, you know, make a decision. Repent before Jesus. I could certainly see areas of my life where I need to use my time, talents and gifts and money more in service to Jesus, more in gathering for Him and His kingdom and His word and His gospel, and a little bit less for myself. Again, we're not being religious here. I'm not saying you have to stop having hobbies. I mean, it's okay to watch a fun show on Netflix. But again, I mean, if you're just rolling, you know, again, you know, a dozen episodes, you know, on the weekend or something, you know, it's okay to cut back a little bit. I promise you, at the end of your life, you're not going to say, golly, man, I just wish I watched more Netflix. The last hour of your life, you're not going to say, man, I just wish I spent more time on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat. You know, I wish I spent more time on social media. No one's going to say that. Okay. At the end of your life, you're going to hope and desire, and you're going to wish that you had spent more time gathering for Jesus. So make those deposits today. Okay. The good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in them. And the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. And the more good you put in, The more Jesus, the more of his word, prayer, praise, thanksgiving, fellowship, community, giving of your time, talents, and money, repentance, the more the evil will be pushed out. Mm. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We just thank you for your love. Father, I do ask you to help us today, all those who don't know you, to receive you as Savior, Lord Jesus. And Lord, those of us who are in you, those of us who are Christians, Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict us, that we would begin to gather more and more for Jesus, that we might scatter less and less. Father, we love you and we praise you. We honor you today, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, seal this to our hearts now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.